Well, great to have you guys here today. We have been in this Bewildered series for several weeks now. And what we're talking about, we're looking at these different habits of the heart. And what these habits of the hearts do is they enable us, they help us counteract what we refer to as enemies of the heart. And the enemy of the heart that we looked at last week was this thing called anger. And I want to go back, I want to talk about that again today. But we said that when it comes to anger, we're actually not just talking about anger, because if we don't deal with our anger in a healthy, in an appropriate way, what happens is gradually, and at times almost imperceptibly, that anger goes turning into bitterness. And resentment. And that just is like a poison that goes infecting us and messing us up and just kind of contaminates and pollutes our lives. And eventually, it actually goes wrecking our relationships as well. Now, what's so interesting, though, about this anger and this bitterness is that it's just so easy to give into, isn't it? I mean, somebody hurts us, somebody wrongs us, or somebody hurts or wrongs somebody that we care about, somebody that we love. They betray us, they let us down. And for most of us, our most natural reaction is to get angry, to get frustrated. I mean, we want to get back at them. We want to give them a piece of our mind. And before long, we don't even realize, but bitterness goes setting in. In our lives. And it may be a boyfriend, it may be a girlfriend, it may be a boss that said or did something. It may be our in-laws, it may be our spouse, it may be our parents, it may be a former friend. And what they did or said, you know, it may be something, you know, like massive or something really big. You know, they cheated on us. They stabbed us in the back. Or it may be a series of smaller offenses, but they go building up and they go growing in our lives, and they fester internally. But the big problem with this anger, this bitterness that we carry with us, is that the person it affects the most is actually us. It affects us more than it does anybody else. And what we would like to think, most of us, when we got hold of this anger and this bitterness that's geared and focused on someone, we would like to think that we are really hurting them, that we are, it's like we're making them miserable because we're angry towards them, we're bitter towards them. Reality is, in most cases, they've just kind of gone on with life. They've just forgotten about the whole thing. And so what we're doing, when we hold on to this poison of bitterness and anger and resentment in our life, what we're doing actually is we are allowing this person that hurt us, whenever it was, last week, last month, it may have been a year or two ago, it may have been way back, years ago in our life. What we are doing is we are continuing to allow that person to hurt us today. We're allowing that person, because we're holding on this bitterness and the anger. They've gone on with life, but we're holding on to it, and we're allowing them to control us, to continue to control us. So for our own sake, we need to let it go. We need to let go of the anger, the bitterness, the resentment. And when we don't, it just builds up. It festers, and eventually part of the problem is not only does it affect us and poison us and make us miserable, but we also begin to spew that onto whoever it is that's closest to us. And typically, those who are closest to us are not the people we're angry towards. They're not the ones that we're holding this bitterness towards. They've gone on with life. They're off somewhere else doing their thing. They've forgotten about it. People who are closest to us are the people we care about the most. Our own spouse, our own kids, our friends. And so this anger, this poison, this bitterness inside of us sabotages intimacy in marriages. And it wrecks friendships, because we're short with people. We're impatient with people. We're snippy. We jump down people's throat. And then we kind of walk away just bewildered. You know, wow, I can't believe that I did that. I can't believe that I said that. And so God says, for your own sake, for the sake of those that you really care about, those that are closest to you, forgive, let go of the bitterness, the anger, let go of this poison. And so the habit of the heart that we talked about last week that we need to incorporate, that we need to develop in our life to counteract this anger, this bitterness, this poison that gets hold of us and sabotages our life and wreaks havoc in us, but also in our relationship. The habit of the heart that we talked about is forgiveness. And so I want to go back, I want to look at that. We looked at a passage of scripture last week. If you have your Bible, you can go ahead and turn there. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 31 and 32. We're going to throw it up here on the screen as well. This is what it says. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. Not just some of it, okay? This is a pretty strong statement. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. See, we need to quit bad-mouthing people around us. We need to get rid of that desire to get back at everybody, even when they have legitimately hurt us and wronged us. And that's part of what makes us hard. And instead, it goes on in verse 32 and says, instead, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. There's that statement, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. But the question for a lot of us becomes, I mean, when we hear this, that we need to forgive the people around us, it becomes, well, what does that even mean? What does it mean to forgive somebody? Because when you hear that, it's like, it just sounds so unrealistic. I mean, it just sounds so unreasonable to just forgive people who have hurt you. What does it mean? I mean, does that mean we just forget? You know, whatever it is that they did to us, we just ignore whatever wrong somebody's done to us? Do we just kind of act on the outside? Do we just kind of push it down and look like everything is great on the outside when the reality is inside that this poison of anger and bitterness is just boiling over? No. What we need to realize is that forgiveness is simply a decision to cancel a debt. Did you write that down somewhere there on your outline if you're taking notes? Forgiveness is simply the decision to cancel a debt. It's like if you took out a loan at a bank, and then they came to you, and they said, you know, we know that you owe us a bunch of money, you've taken out a loan, you owe us money, but we have decided that we're going to cancel that debt. And so we want you to know, you no longer owe anything. We're good. It's clear. You know what that's called in banking terminology? That is called forgiving a loan. And that is exactly what God calls us to do when it comes to the people who have wronged us, who have hurt us. You see, when someone wrongs us or hurts us, they owe us. But when we forgive, we are letting go of that debt. We're choosing to let go of the hurt. We are choosing to let go of the resentment, the bitterness internally. We are choosing to let go of that desire to get back at people, to get even with people. We're in essence saying, I am letting you off the hook. I'm letting you off the hook. I'm letting you go. I am canceling this debt. And that's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is canceling the debt that somebody owes me. Legitimate debt. But they owe me. And we're choosing to cancel it. And it says in this verse, in verse 3, it says, for the 32, it says that we need to forgive others in the same way that God has forgiven us. You see, one of the keys to forgiving is remembering how much God has forgiven us. One of the reasons some of us struggle so, so much forgiving others in reality is because we ourselves have never been forgiven by God. We've never experienced the forgiveness of God. And because we don't feel forgiven ourselves, we have a hard time wanting others to feel forgiven. We struggle with that. But the more grace we experience in our lives, the more grace we're going to be willing and desiring to extend to others. And yet for a lot of us, I mean, just our gut level response is just, I can't. You know, I can't do, not after what he did to me. And you don't know what she did to me. You just don't understand. I can't do that. And you know what? That's right. You can't. That is why You need Jesus. That's why we need Jesus. That's why we need a relationship with Him. That's why we need to experience His love. That's why we need to experience His forgiveness in our lives. So that instead of focusing on what was done to us by this other person, whoever the offending party is, instead of focusing on what was done to us, we're able to focus on what was done for us by God Himself. So if you're here today and you never experienced God's forgiveness in your life, I want you to know it's available. And the truth is, we have all blown it. We've all messed up. I have, you have. It's not that we have just had people hurt us or wrong us. The reality is, we've all hurt and wronged people ourselves. We've wronged God. We've turned our back on God. We've ignored God in our life. And yet, in spite of that, regardless of what the path is, the track that you've been on in your life, God loves you. And He still offers to forgive you, to wipe the slate clean so you can experience forgiveness in your own life. And as we wrap up today, if you've never made that decision for yourself to open your life up to the forgiveness that God offers you, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. But if you don't forgive this anger, this bitterness, this toxic junk, what's going to happen is just going to keep eating away at you on the inside. It's going to keep wrecking your relationships. So we need to forgive for our own sake. We need to forgive. But there are a lot of myths, and this is part of the challenge. There are a lot of myths. There are a lot of misperceptions when it comes to what forgiveness really is. And so what I want to do today is I want to take some time to kind of shed some light on some of these myths, some of these misperceptions that are out there. But before we even get there, I want to take a little quiz, a forgiveness quiz. So if you have your outline, if you haven't pulled it out, you're not taking notes yet, you can pull it out, for it should be in your program. It's a little outline, and on it, on the front side, there's this forgiveness quiz. And I want us to take that little quiz here. It's five questions, really easy, just true or false. And I'm going to give you permission that if you get any of them wrong, you can go back and you can change your answer. Okay? So you don't have to worry about it. Nobody's looking. If you want, you can kind of cover it up so nobody sees your answer. And I would say, don't just blurt an answer out, because you might, if you get it wrong, you don't want to be embarrassed or anything like that. So just quietly, I want you to grab a pen, grab your outline, and I just want you to circle what you think, what you believe about forgiveness. Okay? And these are just five statements, true or false, on each of these. Okay? Ready to go? Got your pens, everything? Okay. Number one, a person should not be forgiven until he or she asks for it. True or false? Just write that down. Just circle one of those. A person should not be forgiven until he or she asks for it. Okay? What do you believe about that? Okay? One or the other. True or false? Got it? Okay. Number two, we're moving. Forgiving includes minimizing the offense and pain caused. True or false? Forgiveness includes minimizing the offense and the pain caused. Circle one or the other. True or false? It includes minimizing the offense and the pain. Number three, forgiveness includes restoring trust and reuniting a relationship. True or false? Is that a part of forgiveness? Forgiveness includes restoring trust and reuniting a relationship. Yeah, true or false? Number four, you haven't really forgiven until you've forgotten the offense. You haven't truly forgiven until you've actually forgotten the offense. True or false? And then number five, when someone is forgiven, it releases them from the consequences of the offense. Again, you can just circle there, true or false. Now, if you were to look at God's word, if you were to read what Scripture says, especially the Gospels, especially what Jesus says about this whole forgiveness thing, what you would discover, the conclusion that you would come to, is that all five of these statements are false. All five of these statements are false. And for some of you, you may look at them and go, what? You know, no way. I mean, that can't be. You see, a lot of people, interestingly, think, oh, I could never forgive that person. But part of the reason why at times we think, oh, I could never forget that person because they hurt me so bad and all these things, is because we haven't understood what forgiveness really is. You see, what a lot of times we think forgiveness is and what forgiveness really is are two very different things, because there are these faulty concepts that we hold on to. There are these myths that we're basing what we think of forgiveness as. There are these misconceptions that are out there. So today, what I want to do is I want to look at what forgiveness isn't. Okay, and as we look at what forgiveness isn't, what it's going to do is it's going to help us get clarity on what forgiveness actually is. So five things that forgiveness is not. Okay, number one, you can take notes on this. Number one, genuine forgiveness isn't conditional. Genuine forgiveness is not conditional. In other words, it's not based on some type of condition. In fact, Scripture, the Bible teaches the exact opposite of that. The Bible says that real forgiveness, genuine forgiveness, is unconditional. It's not something that a person earns or deserves, okay? It's not something that a person buys or bargains for. It's not something that a person gets if they promise, you know, like to never do it again. It's unconditional. So when we tell a person, I'll forgive you if you do this, whatever it is, I'll forgive you if, that's not forgiveness. We say, well, I won't forgive you until you do this or that. That's not forgiveness. You're bargaining. That's not forgiveness. That's bargaining, because genuine forgiveness is unconditional. There are no ifs or untils in true forgiveness. It's something that we do all by ourselves, whether or not the one we're forgiving even knows or even cares about it. Now, this idea, this concept right here is just so important to understand, because it sets us free to forgive even without their cooperation. Even if they're not involved, even if they don't care, they don't want it, whatever, it doesn't matter. We are still able to forgive, and in offering that forgiveness, we are able to find freedom. So this is just so liberating, because then we're able to get rid of this poison, this toxic junk from our lives. Now, look at what Jesus said. When Jesus is hanging on the cross, I mean, he's there, he's been beat, he has nails in his hands, he's in agony, he's in pain, and he makes this statement, Luke 23, verse 34. Jesus said, Father, forgive. He's looking out at people from the cross. He says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Think about that. At that point, nobody had asked for that forgiveness. Nobody had bargained or bartered for it. Nobody had done anything to earn or deserve for forgiveness. It was an unconditional offer of pardon. There's pardon for this act. This is not in light of eternity, but he offers pardon, offers forgiveness for what they were doing right there. That's the offer. That's what forgiveness is. Genuine forgiveness is unconditional. It's not based on people deserving it. It's not based on people asking for it or wanting it. We forgive because God has forgiven us, and because we realize that holding on to anger and bitterness and this hurt in our lives, it just doesn't work. All it does is make us miserable and wreck relationships. So number one, genuine forgiveness isn't conditional. Genuine forgiveness is unconditional. Number two, genuine forgiveness isn't minimizing the seriousness of the offense. Genuine forgiveness isn't minimizing or trivializing the seriousness of the offense. In other words, it's not saying, well, you know, it just really wasn't that big of a deal. It really didn't hurt me that much. Don't worry about it. It really didn't bother me that much. No, that is not forgiveness. Genuine forgiveness says it did hurt. What you did was wrong. What you did was a big deal. It caused pain, but I am choosing to forgive. I am choosing to cancel the debt that you legitimately owe. I am choosing to cancel the debt. I am choosing to let it go. For example, let's just say that a person were raped. This awful thing happens in this person's life. But then let's say that this person goes to the individual that raped someone and says, hey, I just want you to know, I forgive you, because it really wasn't that big of a deal. It really didn't hurt me that much. It really didn't bother me. You know, don't worry about what you did. It just wasn't that big of a deal. It doesn't matter if they use the word forgiveness. That's not forgiveness. That's nuts. I mean, that's like insanity right there. That's not forgiveness. See, sometimes we think that if we forgive, somehow we're condoning the other person's behavior. Or you think it's somehow when we forgive that we're saying that what they did is okay. No. Genuine forgiveness always sees evil as evil. It always sees wrong as wrong. So it's not, genuine forgiveness is not minimizing, it's not trivializing the seriousness of the offense. Forgiveness is not saying, it wasn't that big of a deal, when in reality, it was a big deal. I think about it. God never minimizes or trivializes our sin. He never minimizes or trivializes the seriousness of our wrongdoing. The Bible says in Scripture, God says the wages of sin, what we deserve, the consequences of sin, is death, eternal separation from God. What God is in essence saying in that passage of Scripture is that what you've done is really serious. Sin is a really big deal. It's a big offense. God doesn't minimize the seriousness of wrongdoing. He doesn't trivialize the seriousness of wrongdoing. And neither should we. Neither should we. That is not a part of forgiveness. Genuine forgiveness isn't minimizing the seriousness of the offense. Number three, genuine forgiveness isn't the instant restoration of trust. Genuine forgiveness, real forgiveness, is not the instant restoration of trust. Now, a lot of people misunderstand this. Forgiveness is something that you offer, okay? And once you offer it, it instantly goes into effect. But trust is something that is rebuilt over time. You see, if someone betrays you, you don't instantly trust them again. I mean, they have to prove themselves trustworthy, right? Look at what Jesus said in Scripture. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. Jesus made the statement. Jesus said, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. The implication here is that if someone isn't faithful, if someone isn't trustworthy in small matters, then you certainly don't entrust them with, more. You don't give them more responsibility. You don't entrust people with more responsibility until they show that they can be trusted, until they show that they are trustworthy. And it takes time, okay? It takes time to demonstrate trust. It doesn't happen overnight. So if someone has hurt you over and over and over repeatedly and intentionally, Scripture says, Scripture does say that we are to forgive that individual. We need to forgive them, but we're not obligated to instantly trust them because they have no track record of trust. They have no track record of trustworthiness. Now, some people think, if I forgive like this abusive spouse, and I've just got to take him back into the house just the way things are, and just go on with things. No. No, not necessarily, not at all. Forgiveness means I'm going to let go of the hurt, but they have to do some things in order to rebuild trust. See, if you're the offended party, forgiveness is what you do. Rebuilding of trust is what they do. And there are a number of things that are crucial to rebuilding trust. But what stops is, as Christians, a lot of times, for some reason, we struggle with this idea, with understanding it. I mean, we'll hear about some spiritual leader, a Christian leader that really blows it in their life. Maybe they have a moral failure or something in their life. And a few days later, they go public and they go, "Oh, I'm sorry for what I did." And so sometimes we need to think, then we just need to allow them to continue to lead and continue in the position that they're in. We just need to restore them to what they've been doing all this time. No, that is not what Scripture teaches. What Scripture teaches is that individual needs to rebuild trust. That takes time. There must be proven faithfulness. You don't just automatically restore someone to a position of leadership, because leadership is built on trust. That's what Scripture teaches. Genuine forgiveness isn't the instant restoration of trust. I'm personally convinced that that's one of the reasons why God gave us the exception clause when it comes to divorce. And you need to understand, there are very few biblical reasons for divorce, because God knows how painful, He knows the heartache, He knows the confusion that divorce causes, not just in the innocent kid's life, but in the adults as well, even though they may try to, you know, pretend that it hadn't affected them and that sort of thing. So God allows, in this exception clause, He allows for divorce. It's not His ideal, but when there's adultery involved, He allows for divorce. His ideal is reconciliation. He allows for divorce in this situation when there's a partner who's committed adultery, who's had an affair, and they refuse to break off with the relationship that they're in. They refuse to get in an accountability relationship where over time they can rebuild the trust that is needed to build a marriage. And when that's the case, there really isn't much hope for that marriage, because marriages are built on trust. Now, even in such cases, we still need to forgive, okay? But the restoration of trust may not be possible, because restoration of trust requires a track record of trustworthiness. You need to be trustworthy. So, the number four, and very closely associated to this one, genuine forgiveness isn't the instant restoration of trust. Number four, genuine forgiveness is not the same thing as reconciliation. It is not the same thing as reconciliation. Those are two different issues, two separate processes, okay? Forgiveness is not the same thing as rebuilding or restoring a relationship. A lot of people think, oh, you know, if I forgive somebody, I just automatically have to accept them back just the way they are and allow them to continue to hurt me. No, you don't. Forgiveness isn't the same as resuming a relationship. See, forgiveness is simply canceling a debt. It's canceling a debt that they owe. It's letting the person off the hook, but it does not guarantee that the future relationship is going to be able to be reestablished. Look what Scripture says, Romans chapter 12, verse 18. It says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Look at that first statement. If it is possible, the implication is that it's not always possible. But it says, if it is possible, we need to pursue reconciliation. That is God's ideal. But sometimes it is just not possible to reestablish any kind of a healthy relationship. It just isn't possible. You see, forgiveness is something that I do. Okay? Forgiveness is something I do by myself. Forgiveness is unilateral. I can forgive whether a person is asking for it, whether they know about it. I don't need the other person's involvement. I don't need their cooperation in order to forgive. But reconciliation is a different process. Reconciliation does involve the other person. For there to be reconciliation, that takes two people. And there are certain things that both individuals, when there's been a wrong that has been committed, that both individuals need to do. So, yes, we are called to forgive. But if there's going to be reconciliation, there's several things that need to happen. First of all, if you're the person who has been offended, you're the person who has been wronged, then you need to offer forgiveness. Is there going to be reconciliation? There needs to be forgiveness. You need to offer forgiveness. But there are three things that the person who is offended, the wrongdoer, needs to do for there to be this reconciliation. Jot these down there in your outline. Number one, there has to be repentance. There has to be repentance. They need to demonstrate genuine repentance in their life. If godly sorrow is demonstrated, then reconciliation is possible. But if godly sorrow is not demonstrated, wow, you had better really slow down and be very, very, very careful. So there has got to be repentance. Secondly, there has to be restitution. They need to make restitution when possible and where possible. There needs to be restitution. And then third, there has to be a rebuilding of trust over a period of time, because rebuilding trust takes time. Now, you need to forgive whether they do any of those things or not. But forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation. Okay, it's just a separate process. In fact, you can forgive in secret. You can forgive without them even knowing about it. Why? Because forgiveness is what you do, not what they do. Okay? And your forgiveness is not to be based on their response. It's not to be based on whether they ask for it or not. It's not to be based on whether they accept it or not. It's not to be based on whether they acknowledge it or not. You forgive because God has forgiven you, and because you realize, you know, that resentment, anger, bitterness, it just doesn't work. And because you don't want to break fellowship with God, you don't want your unforgiving, bitter spirit to block you from walking in unbroken fellowship with your Heavenly Father. So let me give you kind of an example here. If you say you've been in a relationship where you're married to a spouse that has been abusive and an alcoholic, and they've hurt you repeatedly. I mean, like over and over and over. And then they come to you and they say, "I'm sorry. Will you forgive me?" Scripture actually says that even though we've been wronged multiple times repeatedly, that yes, we are to enter into the process of forgiveness. We are to forgive that individual. But let's say then they come to you and they say, "Well, now can I move back into the house?" And then you go, "Whoa, whoa, that's a totally separate issue. That's different. There needs to be a track record of trust that has been established over a period of time. You need to be in counseling. You need to be in a recovery group. You need to be in an accountability relationship with somebody who's holding your feet to the fire. There needs to be a track record over time that there has been legitimate change and transformation in your life. There needs to be a track record of trust. But you see, forgiveness is the result of grace. But trust is earned." You see the difference there? So, genuine forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation. Two separate processes. And then number five, genuine forgiveness isn't forgetting what happened. Genuine forgiveness, real forgiveness, is not just kind of forgetting what happened. And for some of you, this may be part of what has kept you from feeling like you can forgive somebody, because you've been thinking the whole time, "Man, I just don't think I can forget what they did. I can't do that. I mean, what they did, they hurt me. The pain is enormous in my life. I don't think I'll ever be able to forget that." That's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is not forgetting what happened. Now, we've all heard the little statement, forgive and what? Forgive and forget. Forgive and forget. Forgive and forget. And it just sounds so nice, doesn't it? I mean, it just sounds good. Forgive and forget. Forgive and forget. Forgive and forget. There's one problem with that statement. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. We don't even have the mental capacity to actually be able to forget everything that has happened in our life, the pain, the heartache that we've experienced, the wrongs that people have done in our life. And if you just think of the logic of it, I mean, somebody could walk up to you, "Have you forgotten yet?" "No, but I'm trying, I'm trying, I'm trying to forget, I'm trying to forget, I'm trying to forget." What are you doing the whole time? You're trying to forget. The whole time you're focused on the very thing that you are trying to forget. We can't do that. And that's not what Scripture teaches. Now, the Bible does say that God forgives and forgets. But God doesn't need to learn anything in the process either. I mean, look at what Scripture actually says. Jeremiah 31, verse 34, the second part of that verse. God says, "For I will forgive their wickedness." There it is. "For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." So it's saying God forgets in the sense that he's not going to hold it against us. But it doesn't mean that the all-knowing God of the universe, you know, just forgets about what happened yesterday or what happened a year ago or in history, that he just doesn't remember, because he's been forgiving people, and so he has these gaps in his thinking, in his memory, and he just doesn't know. "Man, I don't know what happened. I'm a little bit confused about what's going on in the world, because I've forgiven so many people that I don't know." No, God doesn't have like divine amnesia, okay? He doesn't forget in that sense. But the reality is, it's actually important for us to forgive and remember, Because there are things that we need to learn in the process in order to keep some of these things from happening again. And maybe you're in a relationship that was unhealthy, that was demeaning, that was abusive. You need to remember what happened in order to keep that from happening again. Maybe you need to remember to keep that from happening, not just to you, to protect somebody else, maybe to protect your kids in that situation or something like that. Now, for some, as Christians, we get to thinking that like the ultimate in spiritual maturity is forgiving and then forgetting everything that happened. And so we start living our lives wondering, you know, when am I going to get to the point where I am spiritually mature enough to forget all these things that happened in my life, all this pain, all this heartache? When am I going to get to the point that I am mature enough in Christ to forget about all that? And you know that probably isn't going to happen. But there's something even better than forgetting. You know, what could be better than forgetting? What's better than forgetting is remembering, but not feeling the pain. Remembering, but not feeling the pain. Remembering and being able to see that God brought good even out of something that was bad. Remembering and seeing that God used that situation that may have been very painful. You may have been wrong, and yet God used that to put you on a track, on a path in your life that maybe you would have never headed down in your life. But the reality is you are on that path now, and God is using you in an incredible way because of this difficult situation that you went through in your life. It's remembering that God used that to develop character in you. That God brought something positive out of that hurt, out of that pain that this individual caused in your life. It's remembering that God, through that, has caused you to have greater sensitivity to where that now you're able to encourage and support other individuals, at times bring comfort into their life. What's more important than forgetting is for us to remember, because there's things that we need to learn. And when we learn, we grow, and we grow. We become stronger. So forgiveness, genuine forgiveness, is not forgetting what happened. Now, some of you probably walked in today assuming, thinking that you had forgiven people in your life, some people who have hurt you and have wronged you maybe in your life. And yet the reality is that some of that forgiveness that you think you've offered was inauthentic forgiveness. Maybe because it was based on conditions. You use the word, I forgive, but it was, I forgive if you will do this and this. Or I won't forgive until you do this or this. That's not forgiveness. You were bargaining in that situation. And maybe you need to go back and you need to offer true, genuine forgiveness in a situation. Maybe you minimize the offense. And you try to make it out to not be that big of a deal. And so you kind of forgave, but you forgave on kind of this superficial level because you never really owned how serious the offense really was, because it was wrong. It hurt you. It hurt you deeply. And so you forgive the kind of this surfacey little deal. But you need to go back and you need to own. You need to think through the pain, the hurt that's been caused. You need to own it. You need to acknowledge it. You need to see evil as evil. You need to see wrong as wrong. And once you own it fully, once you own the debt fully, then you can cancel the debt fully. But some of you walked in today, and when you heard that we were talking about forgiveness, internally there was something that may have gone off, said, man, there is no way. I cannot forgive that person, not after what they did to me. But some of the reason why some of you couldn't forgive is because you didn't really fully understand what forgiveness is. What we need to understand is that forgiveness is a choice. Forgiveness is a decision that we make to cancel a debt, a legitimate debt. Somebody's wronged us. There is a debt that is owed. Forgiveness is choosing to cancel that debt. Say, I am canceling the debt. You no longer owe me. I'm letting go of it because I don't want the poison of anger and bitterness and resentment wreaking havoc and messing up my life anymore. I don't want that anymore. So I am choosing to cancel a debt and to let it go. So with greater clarity, on what forgiveness is and what forgiveness isn't, God invites you in to the process of forgiveness. What you need to do in your life, you need to develop this habit of the heart of forgiveness for your own sake, for the sake of those that you love and you care about, for the sake of your relationship with God, so you can live your life in unbroken fellowship with God. You need to forgive. You need to let go of the bitterness, the anger, the resentment that is a poison that is messing you up. And it's messing up your relationships, whether you realize it or not. You need to determine, with God's help, God, I want to develop this habit. I want to move into the process of forgiving. I want to cancel the debt this person owed me. They wronged me. But God, I don't want that poison to continue to drive and dictate how I do my life. I want to let it go with your help. I want to leave it behind. I want to cancel the debt. Say, you no longer owe me. You bow your heads with me. Some of you are here today and you've been living with the residual effects of anger and bitterness, resentment for just way too long. It's been poisoning you. It's been wrecking your relationships, sabotaging, wreaking havoc in your life. It's time to let it go. And you need to determine with God's help, say, I want to enter into this process of forgiveness. I want to establish this habit of forgiveness, of canceling the debt that people owe me. If you're here today and you've never accepted God's gift of forgiveness yourself, you need it. If you're going to be able to forgive others, you need to experience for yourself God's love and His forgiveness. And until you do, you're going to continue to live with that bitterness and that anger in your life. So why don't you pray right where you are, meaning it. Why don't you pray and say, God, I know I've messed up. I know I've blown it. Yes, you've been hurt, but would you acknowledge you've hurt others, you've wronged others. Just tell God, express that, admit that to God. God, I know I've hurt others. God, I've wronged you. I've turned my back on you. I've ignored you. But God, today, you said, today, I want to accept your gift of forgiveness. God, wipe the slate clean in my life. I accept that gift that you offer based on what Jesus did by dying on the cross to pay for my sins and then coming back to life. Hey, God, fill me with your love. I want to follow Jesus and his ways of love and his way of forgiveness. There may be some of you here that you just need to get honest with God and say, God, I'm not there. I know intellectually that the anger, the bitterness, it's not working. It's poisoning me on the inside. But I'm just struggling letting go. But God, I'm open to my desires changing. And so you pray to God and say, God, I want you to change my desires. Change my willingness. Because I want to get rid of this poison in my life. God, we thank you for your grace, for your forgiveness. Even though we don't deserve it, there's nothing that we can do to earn it. You offer wipe the slate clean. You offer us full forgiveness. God, my prayer is that we would turn around and that we would extend that same love and that same forgiveness to individuals who have wronged us. That we would be willing to cancel the debt that we are owed and say, you no longer owe me. And in that process, God, that we would be able to experience the freedom and the peace that comes with getting rid of the poison of anger and bitterness and resentment. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.